It's September for sure. That's what we know around here. Things get darker earlier. Coming up tonight on WEOL, the Urban Meyer Call-In Show at 6. Indians baseball going for another win in this streak. 22 for tonight against the Royals. It'll be Josh Tomlin on the mound for the Indians. In studio joining us now is Amanda Manahan, who is the educator and tour coordinator with the Oberlin Heritage Center. Good morning, Amanda. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Lots going on. You know, over the summertime, you're busy with a lot of those camps, right? You
between camps and history walks and tours, yeah, it's a busy season for us.
And when you're planning education, I mean, it's a different way you approach these type of history and from the Heritage Center for adults and for kids, right?
It's a little bit different. We try to make everything hands-on as possible for adults and kids. But the camps are just a unique way to kind of engage with local youth and kind of show them the value of history and how it is accessible and how we can kind of celebrate our community, too.
This fall, you've got a lot of different things going on. One of them currently is, a cooperation with the Lorain Hispanic community. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's actually a really exciting opportunity for both of our organizations. The Oberlin Heritage Center is partnering with the Museum of Hispanic and Latino Cultures out of Lorain, an organization that's been around for about 7 years. They currently do not have a facility to exhibit their materials, so they've traveled around to local organizations and libraries and schools, and we kind of got in contact with them about a year ago and started talking about how we can celebrate Hispanic and Latino cultures through our organization, something that we don't represent very often. It's underrepresented in a lot of museums, and this opportunity came up. So right now at the Monroe House on our museum grounds, we have about 18 countries on display, everywhere from Spain to Brazil to Puerto Rico and Mexico. So it really helps kind of liven up our organization, and it's a nice way that we can partner with another local entity.
What are they displaying? How does that fit into where you have things?
Mm-hmm. So it's all within our historic house setting. So it's kind of unusual to walk through and to see these different types of materials coinciding with our historic objects. But it's really neat because we can show these objects from their museum in what kind of setting they would be in their own countries. So, for example, our kitchen has been transformed into a Mexican kitchen. So we are able to display the metate, which is the way that they would grind corn into flour to make the masa for tortillas. We have their hot chocolate set in a molinillo, which is like a chocolate stirrer. Their ollas, or what are called bean pots. So we're able to kind of display their items in the kitchen and in the dining room and in our two parlors. So lots of different objects, from musical instruments to dresses to ceramics and clothing, other pieces of clothing. So it's a very diverse collection.
How does a partnership like that come about? That or any others you have?
I can't remember exactly how this one came about, but I think it was through our local History AmeriCorps member. She was working with many different organizations as part of her service, her AmeriCorps service, and she's hosted at our site. And I think she was the one that was initially working with them, and then we kind of became aware of them and saw an opportunity to work together. So it's all about networking.
And it's a way to bring in other people who may not know what you do necessarily.
Exactly.
And expose more people to what you do and this other group too.
Mm-hmm. And what's been really nice about this is that representatives from their organization have been reaching out to schools. So we can offer bilingual tours with their aid for local students, college and high school. Or we can, for anybody who that English is not their primary language, they have the option of coming to our museum on Saturdays and getting a bilingual tour. So.
Yes, or they can go to the Fiesta en la Biblioteca.
Yes.
You know, you say that better than Tuscaroras.
Well, I had a number of years of Spanish, and there was the Biblioteca was always at some point in there. Baño and Biblioteca, those are the two words I always remember related to that. But the library then
Yes.
And it has a, is always a place for something. So there's going to be like a food tasting, I guess.
Yeah, so we're going to have a party at the library, at the Oberlin Public Library on September 23rd, I believe starting at 3 o'clock and going to 3 to 5. So we're going to have some music, some great food. Guillermo, who is essentially in charge of this Museum of Hispanic and Latino Cultures, he's been really working hard on getting some great people involved with this. So it is a free event. And on that day, we're also featuring free self-guided tours of the exhibit because it's in honor of Smithsonian Museum Day, which Smithsonian museums are free to the public. So it's kind of with other other museums throughout the country kind of honoring their system.
Right. I see you have something called the Medical History of Oberlin coming up.
Yeah, we actually have a couple versions of that program coming up in October. The first one's on October 19th at 6 o'clock, also at the Oberlin Public Library. Dr. W.G. McKibben, she has been working as a doctor in Oberlin for many years, and she has spent decades kind of documenting the medical history of Oberlin, which is really interesting because it is still a rural hospital. And she has notes and videos and illustrated presentations documenting her film video journey, trying to discover this fascinating history of Oberlin's hospital and medical field. So it should be a really neat program. And then she's doing an encore presentation at the Kendall at Oberlin, which is also open to the public. At the Heiser Auditorium at 7:15 the following Tuesday, October 24th.
Oberlin College, of course, a major player in town, too. Mm-hmm. How do you work with the college, or what do you do with the college to get students involved, or how would you describe the student interest in what you do?
Mm-hmm. So actually, that's kind of interesting. The last couple of years, we've tried something new called the Root Beer Float Fridays, which it was last Friday, and we root beer has kind of a special connection to one of the historical figures that we discuss on our tours, Dr. Frank Jewett. He was a professor of chemistry at the college, and he liked to make his own root beer. So in front of the Jewett House, we set up a little tent, and we served root beer floats to about 100 students on Friday. So that's just kind of, you know, welcoming them, both first-year students and older students, back to campus. And then kind of we opened up the museum and let them come through the historic buildings as well. We also work with the college on many sorts of community events, including sometimes Big Parade and through their community connections fairs. We also have many student volunteers and work-study interns that that work with us on a daily basis at the Heritage Center. So it's really a very mutually beneficial partnership with the college that we're able to provide professional development activities and experiences for these students, but at the same time we're able to build our capacity of serving our visitors.
Oh, I thought you were going to have something else.
Not necessarily. I see you're busy. You must be working. You got to focus over there.
Well, I was shuffling paper out of the corner of my eye. I saw you do something, which I thought maybe that was the cue that you had to follow up on that. I'm interested in how you got the Apollo Theater involved with that. I mean, that was the restoration that took place. The college has that,
mm-hmm.
and different organizations sometimes use it. I guess you'll be putting on some movies there, or at least.
Yeah, at least one movie. Right. We're experimenting a lot over the last couple years. And if you haven't been to the Apollo Theater in downtown Oberlin, it is a wonderful little theater. They show new movies, and sometimes they bring about older movies, especially on Friday nights. And one thing that we wanted to do was maybe have a family-friendly event and celebrate the history of cinema. And Back to the Future just seemed to lend itself very well to family fun, and also, you know, there's ideas of history and how history can change. So we wanted to feature the movie Back to the Future. We'll have some raffles and some games. There's going to be a costume contest that evening as well, so people can dress up And there's a prize for 18 and under, and then there's an adult costume prize as well. So it should be a really fun evening in a historical setting.
Now, it says the DeLorean, a photo op with a DeLorean automobile. Like, is this a cutout like that, or is this, you know, did you find a collector that
We found somebody who has a real DeLorean. Okay. So we've been working with her for a while, and so she's going to bring that up with a couple of her friends. And yes, there's going to be photo ops in front of a real DeLorean.
Right. The follow up is to ask me about the Queen of Retro, Ratsy Jo Kemp. Is this the?
Ratsy.
It says the costume contest judged by Oberlin's Queen of Retro.
Yes, Ratsy operates a retro store, or kind of like a, not really a thrift store, but a store in downtown Oberlin where she has some older items, but she also features retro themes, and it's just a really cool little shop. She has some great clothing, and we haven't really partnered with her before, and we thought that this would be a perfect opportunity since Back to the Future is retro in
exactly,
itself.
Right. Well, I mean, you're a museum in a college town that has a lot of unique stores, and you mm-hmm. try to work with the business as well, because anything that brings people to the community, like your Heritage Center, when they're done going through some of the tours, they want mm-hmm. to see what else is happening in the community. So there's always a partnership that with all of that. There,
absolutely. Too. Oberlin's a great town to be a part of. There's the community, the businesses, they all work together with the other organizations, and it's with the Oberlin Business Partnership too has been a great community partner in that, trying to get people working together and offering a lot of events for the community. So it's been great.
You have a lot of people doing things, but you have a lot of volunteers too, and I imagine you're probably always in the market for volunteers.
We are, and actually on October 7th, we're hosting a docent training on Saturday, October 7th, between 9 and 12:30, I believe. So this particular docent training is to kind of show people what we have at our three historic buildings and to show them how we interpret them and how we engage with the public. And yes, we're always looking for volunteers, not only for our docents or tour guides, but for people who are interested in helping out with other capacities of our museum, like with fundraising and with marketing. So we are always looking for help. We're a small staff, but we're very active.
Greg, I don't know how long I've been doing this, many years, received many releases and news releases, and there is a word on here that I am so interested in. It's the First Church of United Church of Christ celebrating their 175th anniversary, and it's listed as the Dodron's Bicentennial on here as well. This is coming up on Sunday, the October 8th. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that happen in different communities and a lot of churches, which is kind of, I would assume, even with an Oberlin Heritage Center, churches play a major role in communities and in almost keeping the history alive.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. There are a lot of churches in Oberlin that have fascinating histories, and Oberlin itself was founded as a Christian perfectionist community, and the First Church of Oberlin is a wonderful building architecturally and historically speaking. So we do operate some tours through that building as well. The church has been very generous in allowing us to visit that space.
Our guest this morning, Amanda Manahan with the Oberlin Heritage Center. If people want to find out more, they can like you on Facebook, they can go to your website.
We have a Facebook page. Our website is www.oberlinheritagecenter.org. They can also call us at 440-774-1700. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 3.
Well, appreciate you stopping in this morning
and
sharing what's
much.
Happening with the Oberlin Heritage Center. It is 856 at WEOL.